Good morning. My name is Pastor Ernestine Vines from Kingdom Place Church, Wilson, North Carolina. And I've started a series called God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. And this is the second lesson, working with the Holy Spirit. Working with the Holy Spirit. The first lesson, I went over the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. He's not an it. He's not a something, but he is a person. And I know when I was first brought up, and when I first got saved and I was brought up, I've never taught that the Holy Spirit was a person. When we call it something or it, but Holy Spirit is a person. He's part of the Godhead. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he is the one that we interact with here now in the church age in order to hear God, in order to do what God wants us to do, in order to be born again. You can't be born again without the Holy Spirit. You can't know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. So every believer has the Holy Spirit. Every believer is not baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit, but every believer has the Holy Spirit. So therefore, you're able to hear God and actually be led by the Spirit. You don't walk in the power of the Spirit, but you're able to be led by the Holy Spirit. Today's lesson is working with the Holy Spirit. Working with the Holy Spirit, probably one of the most challenging tasks we have is learning how to work with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. And if Jesus can of his own self do nothing, we can of our own selves do nothing. He said, I do what I hear the Father do. I say what I hear the Father say. That's how he operated. And we are to operate in this age by doing what we hear from the Holy Spirit, what we see, we do. And I want to say this, that in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they never work independently of each other. They're one, so they're always working together. They're always working together. So you don't have to worry about following one and not following the other. If you follow the Holy Spirit, you're following God the Father and God the Son. If you follow God, you're following God the Holy Spirit and God the Son. If you're born again, and if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you follow God. If you're not born again and not saved, then probably you're not following God. God is trying to get you to see salvation, and you can follow that way. The Holy Spirit is trying to get you to see salvation too. I also talked about in our first lesson that Holy Spirit is here to convince the world about the existence of Jesus and what he did on the cross. He's here to convince the world that the only righteousness is God's righteousness. And he's here to convince the world that Satan has been judged. We don't have to be afraid of him any longer. He's been conquered by the blood of Jesus. Jesus conquered the enemy by his death and resurrection, and he's been sentenced. He's been judged. He's been sentenced. And the sentence will be carried out. Jesus has taken the keys from him, so he no longer has power and authority over the believer. So today's lesson, walking with the Holy Spirit, learning to surrender to Holy Spirit and work with him. Working with the Holy Spirit. I hope I said that right. I might have said walking with the Holy, but it's working with the Holy Spirit. Walking with the Holy Spirit comes later. Working with the Holy Spirit, learning to surrender to Holy Spirit and work with him. Learn to work with the Holy Spirit. John 20, 19 through 23. Gospel of John, chapter 20, 19 through 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, the fear of the Jews, they were assembled because of the fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Every believer has been sent. Every believer has been sent. God didn't save nobody to sit on the bench line and do nothing. Every believer has been sent. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So we see here in John that this is when the disciples were born again. They were born again when Jesus breathed into them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When you are born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. I know there are some people that don't believe you have the Holy Spirit until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and His power. But every believer, when you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. You might not be filled with it yet, although you can get filled and baptized at the same time you get born again, but every believer receives the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at baptizing the Holy Spirit. Remember now, even if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, you still can follow the Holy Spirit because you have a born again spirit in you. Your spirit has been born again, and the Bible says that we have the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. So He's in you at when you get born again, even though you might not be full of Him or baptized in Him. And baptism covers the outside. Okay, well, I'm gonna go through that right here. And being assembled together, Acts 1, 4 through 8. And being assembled together with Him, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from me." For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Lord has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power." Now he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I'm not going to teach on this right now, but I want to say this, that you cannot be a full witness for Jesus unless you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a witness of the Word of God that the disciples carried after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they also witnessed to the power of God. So to be a full witness of Jesus, we gotta witness not only in the Word, but in the power of God. And when I say the power of God, I mean that whatever we say the Word does, people want to see it doing. If we say that through the hearing of the Word of God, people are born again, people want to see people getting born again. They want to witness the power of God, people getting born again. They want to get born again when they hear the Word of God. If we teach on healing, then the power of the witness to that word that we're preaching and teaching about healing, the power of God, if the power of God is not there and people are not getting healed, then we're not being a full witness to Jesus and to the gospel. Well, and if we preach and teach on prosperity, if people are not prospering, then the power is not there to witness what we're preaching. So the witness, when Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem," it meant also that not only would they have the power to preach and teach the word of God, but the power of God would be there in demonstration. The power of God would be there in demonstration. So how do we be a witness to Jesus? How do we be a witness? Because remember, we're talking about working with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here to do what? A whole bunch of things we talked about last week. He's our teacher. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He brings things to our remembrance. He's our helper. The greatest thing that we should always remember, because we all need help. I don't know about you, but I need a lot of help. But the Holy Spirit is our helper. He helps us. So He helps us be a witness. So how do we be a witness to Jesus? Signs and wonders, healings, and miracles witness the presence of Jesus. They witness the presence of Jesus. They show people you have been with Jesus. And they also show that the word of God is truth. That the word of God is true. You can count on the word of God, and that God does what he said he does. And when we don't see the miracles, we don't see the power of God, it's not God. It's the vessels. It's because we have not learned to work with Holy Spirit, or we're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, or we're not walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, or something is clogging the power of God from moving through us, which could be unbelief. But one of the greatest witnesses in your life is being and living Christ-like. Being and living Christ-like. And you know what? Being and living Christ-like is being who Christ is on the inside of us, but it's also doing the same things that Christ did. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He preached the gospel. He taught the gospel. He met the needs of the people. He did miracles. He did signs. He did wonders. And I believe, and I'm going to believe today I leave here, that God wants the church to walk in the power that Jesus walked in. He wants us to, God wants us to walk in the power that the early church walked in. He's our Father. I often say God the Father. I often call him God the Father. Some people call him Daddy and Papa, but I often say God the Father. He's my Father. I've learned that he is my Father. So God the Father wants us to walk in the same power that Jesus walked in the same obedience, in the same surrender. Jesus walked in surrender to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. He told us about the Father because he wanted us to know the Father heart of God. And right now I'm doing I'm learning about more deeper about the Father heart of God. And he wanted us to know about the power of the Holy Spirit and how he was going away. The Holy Spirit was going to be here with us. So people saw the believers and how much they loved each other, and none of them was lacking. That's another witness. Walking in the love of God. What did Jesus say in John? He said, the world will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. Not who has the best doctrine, not who has the best teaching, not who walk in most of the power of the Holy Spirit, but the world will know that you're my disciples by how much you love one another. We need to love one another in the church. That's how the world's going to know that. So the early church showed that walking in it. They worked with Holy Spirit, and they walked in this love. Acts 2, 42 through 47, and Acts 4, 32 through 35. I'm not going to go into that, but when I put this on the website, the scripture will be there. I'm not going to read it right now, but if you go and read Acts 2, 42 through 47 and Acts 4, 32 through 35, you will saw how the disciples demonstrated that love they had for each other. They counted nothing their own, but they were willing to share with others. You hear them healing the sick in the book of Acts, but you don't hear of anybody being sick. I'm believing that they were walking in health. They were walking in wholeness. They were walking in divine health, because you don't see of anybody being sick, but you see people healing the sick. I believe the early church were taught how to walk in divine health and not allow sickness and disease to come upon them. Just like they resisted sin, they worked with the Holy Spirit to resist sin in their lives. They also work with Holy Spirit to resist sickness in their lives. I believe that. And I believe that because there's no account of anybody being sick in the church, in the early church, but a lot of accounts of people being healed. You hear them healing the sick, but not being sick. You hear them raising the dead when one of them died. Now, some of the early church did die, but you hear them being raised from the dead. I believe you can be raised from the dead if you want to be raised from the dead. If you die and you with Christ and you in the Lord and you don't want to be raised, then you just might not come back. So it might not be always that we have what we want when we raise somebody from the dead. If they want to come back, and sometimes I heard accounts of Jesus telling people, they had to come back because somebody was believing for them to come back. And I've heard testimonies of people that raised people from the dead. I've never raised anybody from the dead. To be honest, I've never tried to raise anybody from the dead. You got to believe that when you call that person back to life, they will come back. So we need to start, though, practicing raising people from the dead, just like we need to practice healing people. Jesus didn't tell us to pray for the sick, he said, heal the sick. We could pray a prayer of faith for somebody, James tells us, but Jesus told us to heal the sick. Matter of fact, let me put this in right now. And I didn't say this when I actually taught this at the church, but let me say this. How do we pray? Okay, the Bible, Jesus taught us how to pray. He taught us the Lord's Prayer, but he also told us that we are to pray to the Father in his name. And that we pray to the Father in his name, it will be done. I don't have the scriptures right now to show you, but if you go to John, Gospel of John, you'll find it. And then he told us that we hadn't asked anything in his name, but we could start asking in his name. And that's so not so much as prayer. Praying to the Father in the name of Jesus is prayer. Asking or demanding in the name of Jesus is using our authority. I might could say, well, Lord, heal John. He's your servant. John's not there with me. Heal your servant, John, Father, in the name of Jesus. That prayer is a valid prayer. It could be answered. It's a valid prayer, prayed in faith. But suppose I'm right there with John, or I speak another way, and I say, John, be healed in the name of Jesus. John, and maybe John has a brain problem or something. I say, brain, you align with the word of God. You be healed in the name of Jesus. That's the type of prayer that Jesus said we could pray in his name. We could ask and demand in his name, and whatever we ask, it will be done. Okay. But John tells us what to pray according. If we know we pray according to the will of God, that's in the Epistle of John. I think it's 1 John. If we ask according to the will of God, then we know we have the petition that we ask of him. And if that's the case, then we should know that the word of God is the will of God. You don't have to worry if you're praying according to the word of God, you don't ever have to worry about praying, not praying the will of God, because the word of God is the will of God. In order to work with the Holy Spirit, we got to learn not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:20 through 4:25 tells us that we should not grieve the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to read all of that. But in Ephesians 4:20, it tells us that we haven't learned certain things in Christ. In Christ, you don't learn sin, but you learn how to overcome sin and not do sin. And realize that Jesus has given us victory over sin. Sin no more has dominion over us, Romans says. But we have dominion over sin. We can say no. So that being the case, Ephesians 4:22 tells us to put off concerning the former conversation. This is the King James Version. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It takes the word of God to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We gotta be renewed. Our mind has to be renewed. Our mind has to be renewed through the word of God. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. I like this because it tells us what? My new man. The new man is my spirit, not my soul, not my body. In order to work with the Holy Spirit, I need to know that. I need to know that my new man is my spirit that has been born again. And that was created in righteousness and true holiness. So right now in your spirit, you are righteous, you are holy if you're born again. So work with Holy Spirit. You can't work with Holy Spirit if you're saying you're unrighteous and you're righteous. You can't work with Holy Spirit if you're saying you're unholy and the Bible says you are holy. You might not be acting holy. You might not be living holy in every area. You might not look like you're righteous or might not be doing all righteous things, but that's not the real you. You're acting in a way that's the old person. If you're born again, that's the old way of thinking. That's the old man's way of living. And now you are no longer that person. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. So created in righteousness and true holiness. So work with Holy Spirit. Teach your mouth how to work with Holy Spirit. That's a job, ain't it? Teaching our mouths how to live with the Holy Spirit. Teaching your mouth to say the same thing that Holy Spirit says about you. And whatever the Word of God says about you, trust me, that's the same thing Holy Spirit is going to be saying about you. If something comes to you and it's the opposite of that, then that is not Holy Spirit. That's the enemy or that old way of thinking. So work with Holy Spirit. Teach your mouth how to work with Holy Spirit. Teach your eyes and ears how to work with Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 4:25 tells that about our mouth. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So that mouth should be working with Holy Spirit. How do you put away lying? You speak the truth. When you start speaking the truth instead of lies, you're putting away lying and you're speaking the truth. And 26 says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be angry. We all get angry, but we don't have to follow that anger in sin. We can follow Holy Spirit when we get angry. Trust me, when you get angry, Holy Spirit's right there. He ain't went nowhere because you got angry. He's right there working with you to go the right way with that anger and not the wrong way. He's there with you to follow peace and not anger. You know, allow him to put that anger away from you. Allow him to put the wrath away from you. Allow him to put that away from you. I think about a story in the gospel. When Jesus heard that John had been beheaded, he was not only John was not only the one that paved the way for Jesus and announced that he was the Son of God along with the Father. But John and Jesus were first cousins. They were cousins. And I don't know if they were first cousins, but they were cousins. They were family. They were spiritual family and they were family. And so what did Jesus do when he heard that John was beheaded? Jesus went out and he destroyed the works of the enemy. He used his anger to destroy the works of the enemy. He healed the sick. He went out and just did miracles. He worked with the Holy Spirit to destroy the works of the devil, not talk about, not go to the palace and of the Romans and try to get soldiers to avenge John's death. No, he didn't do that. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But Jesus healed the sick. He worked with Holy Spirit at that particular time. Never give place to the devil. Work with Holy Spirit. Never give place to the devil. There are probably a lot of places the enemy would like to come in and wreak havoc in our lives and in our families. But if we don't give him a place to do that, he can't do it. And if we work with the Holy Spirit, there will be no places for him to do that. Every place that might be open, Holy Spirit will give us wisdom to close that door to the enemy and not give him place. But we got to work with the Holy Spirit. He's with us every day, working and helping us to live this Christian life. And we cannot live this Christian life without walking in the Spirit. And I'm going to talk about that'll be our next lesson. But we can't do it without walking in the Spirit. No, the next lesson is going to be denying ourselves so that we can walk in the Spirit. But we got to work with the Holy Spirit not to give any place to the devil. You cannot do this on your own. You cannot live this Christian life on your own. But the great thing is, you're never alone. You're not here alone. Jesus did not come and die for us on the cross, suffer, and then get raised from the dead and go back to the Father to leave us alone and said, okay, do the best you can now. I'll be back, but do the best you can. He didn't do that. He said, I'm going away, but I'm sending someone. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, someone just like me. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you like orphans, but I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And he came. On the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came. Jesus kept his word. And then he told us, let him that stole steal no more. But rather, this is Ephesians 4:28. But rather let him labor working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So if you was a thief and you get born again, you don't have to steal anymore. You can get a job and work and labor with your hand. Holy Spirit is working with you. He is. If the urge come to steal, I mean, you might get born again, never have another urge to steal. But if you did have an urge to steal, or the old stuff try to come back, Holy Spirit's there. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. I didn't quote that right, but it's in Hebrews. You know, so we always have grace. We always have grace. We always have grace. And there's a verse in Corinthians 2 that lets us know that whenever a temptation comes, God always gives us a way to escape that temptation. We always have grace to escape. We always have grace to say no and the will to say no. So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Holy Spirit, if we work with Holy Spirit, then we can surely not let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth. But Holy Spirit will give us that which is good, that we might be able to edify and minister grace to our hearers. And what's the grace? What's the grace that's talking about? Undeserved favor. That's one of the definitions of grace. Grace has more than one definition. Undeserved favor. Instead of letting corrupt communication come out of your mouth toward that person, give that person grace. Speak something that's going to edify that person, something that's going to build them up, something that's going to help them through whatever they're going through. You know, speak something in love to that person. Then verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How would you grieve the Holy Spirit in this case? In Ephesians, it gave us a good example of what believers are no longer supposed to be, what believers are supposed to be. Holy Spirit's going to be there with you. And if you yield and work with the Holy Spirit, then you won't grieve the Holy Spirit. But if you go opposite of what Holy Spirit is trying to get you to say and do, then that grieves Holy Spirit. If Holy Spirit is there to help you put away lying, but you resist Holy Spirit, you grieve and you go and lie anyway and don't listen to Holy Spirit, that grieves him. He grieves her Holy Spirit when we do not cooperate and work with him, because he's doing it for us. He's doing it for you, so that you can walk in in the blessings and promises of God, so we can be Christ-like, so the world can see Christ in us. So it grieves him when we don't cooperate with him. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. We are not experiencing our full salvation. I mean, I can just look at my own life. You can look at your life. You are not experiencing everything that Jesus paid for you to have. You are not experiencing all of it. And God wants us to experience all of it. So the Holy Spirit has sealed us. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Your spirit has been sealed with the Holy Spirit. So you don't have to be afraid of the enemy getting in your spirit, corrupting your spirit, or anything like that. It's been sealed. It's been sealed until we experience the full salvation of Jesus. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted his holy influence in your life. Never take it for granted. Never take it for granted. Ephesians 4:31 and 4:32 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let it all be put away. How? By cooperating and working with the Holy Spirit. Let it all be put away. You don't have to strive and struggle trying to stop this or stop that, but a lot work with Holy Spirit. Let Holy Spirit say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I mean, I'm on shaky ground right now, but I want to surrender to you. I want to cooperate with you, so help me, Holy Spirit. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, so I can work with you, because I know you're working with me against this thing. You're working with me to get me out of this. So help me. Show me what you want me to do. He not only will show you what he wants you to do, but he'll give you the strength to do it. Verse 32 in Ephesians 4 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. God never tells us anything in the Bible to do that he had not already given us the grace to do. That we're not already given what we need to overcome it and be victorious and not do it. Another thing we should not do is quench the Holy Spirit. Quench the Holy Spirit means to stop the Holy Spirit from working through you. Never stop Holy Spirit from working through you. Or never stop Holy Spirit from working through somebody else. Never stop Holy Spirit from working through you in whatever you're doing. It could be in ministry, it could be at church, it could be in your day-to-day life, your job, your work, but don't quench Holy Spirit. Don't stop him from doing what he wants to do. Allow him to do what he wants to do. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Let's start there. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So we are to what? Do good. Not just to fellow Christians, not just among ourselves, but we ought to do good to all men. We ought to show the goodness of God to everybody. We ought to rejoice evermore. Always be rejoicing in the goodness of God. There's always something to rejoice about. You're saved, you're born again. Rejoice. Rejoice about what God has already done for you. Rejoice about something you believe in God for. Rejoice about it before it even done. Pray without ceasing. We're going to cover praying with the Holy Spirit. Pray without ceasing. Always pray. Every day pray. In every situation pray. Pray in tongues and pray in with your understanding. Pray the scriptures. Pray the word of God. And prayer is just talking to God. It's saying what God has already said over yourself, over your life, over your situation, and thanking God for it. That's the next verse, 5:18 in 1 Thessalonians. and everything give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. He didn't say give thanks for the works of Satan. Don't give thanks for the evil stuff. But it said in everything give thanks. Not give thanks for, but in everything give thanks. In the midst of whatever you're going through, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you. It's the will of God that we be thankful people. And when I work with Holy Spirit, I can be thankful. It might be a little hard or not easy starting off saying thank you. I'm gonna have to just say it when I don't feel it. But if I keep being thankful, if I keep thanking God and telling him how good he is, after a while, the Holy Spirit's gonna stir, my spirit man is gonna stir up within me, and the Holy Spirit's gonna, he's gonna be right there with me. And that Thanksgiving will flow. It's the will of God that we be thankful people. And in everything we give thanks. When my husband passed away, and there will be times of loneliness and grief, I would give thanks. In the midst of the grief, in the midst of being lonely, I would thank God. I would just thank him and praise him. And that's how I got through it. And First Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the spirit. Don't stop the spirit. Never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Never restrain. Restrain means to stop something, put up a barrier so it can't be done. So never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Allow Holy Spirit to work. Allow Holy Spirit to do whatever Holy Spirit want to do. Allow him to do it. Don't quench him. Allow him to do it. In your life, in the life of everybody around you, in your situations, in the church services you're in, allow Holy Spirit. Don't put out the fire. Don't restrain him. Verse 20 says, despise not prophesying. Allow prophetic words to go forth. And don't be one who scorns prophecy. Don't do that. Don't make light of prophecy. Don't make fun of prophecy. Judge prophetic words. The Bible said we ought to judge. Judge and see if it's of God. See if it's according to the word of God. See if the prophetic word is according to the nature of God. You know, put them to the test. And afterwards, if it passed the test, hold tightly to what has been proven to be right. Whatever's in the prophetic word has proven to be right. Once you test that word, then hold fast to it. Hold fast to it. You can read Thessalonians 5, 21, 22, and 23. I'm not going to read that. But verse 24 said, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The one who calls you and me by name is word trustworthy and will thoroughly complete his work in you. God will thoroughly complete what he started in you. He started a work in us at salvation. He will complete that work. But we got to work with Holy Spirit. We got to work with Holy Spirit. The Lord working with you. The Lord work with us through the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Mark 16, 19 through 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he received up, he was, re let me start again, sorry. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So we see here that God was working with the disciples or the apostles. He was working with the church, not just the apostles. He was working with every believer. The apostles went out and preached. He was working with them. And he confirmed his word through the accompanying signs and wonders. So the Lord is working with us through the Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit so that we can work with the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit is one that's, he's in the lead. He's guiding. He's leading us. And we're following. We're working with him. He's not working with us. We're working with him. That means that not everything you do, you can't, you decide to do on your own. You can't think that Holy Spirit's gonna work with you just because you came up with this great idea and it's not a God idea and it's not something God told you to do. No, we work with Him on whatever God has given us to do or called us to do. And we know we all called to live like Christ. I mean, we all called to follow Holy Spirit. We're all called to walk in love. We're all called to heal the sick. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the Bible we're all called to do, and we have to work with the Holy Spirit to fulfill that calling and that purpose for our lives. So we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit in order for Him to work through us. In order for us to work with Him, we need to surrender to Holy Spirit. And surrender is a day-to-day thing. We daily surrender to Holy Spirit. It might be a one-time big thing where you surrender to God, totally submit to Him, but then that commitment is reinforced every day as we continue to submit and surrender to the Holy Spirit in order to work with Him. The Lord will work with and through us as much as we serve are. Let me say it again. The Lord will work with us and through us as much as we are surrendering to Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. The Lord will work with us and through us as much as we are surrendering to the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. Working with the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve Him, don't quench Him, but work with Him in your day-to-day life, in your ministry, in your calling. We are called to work with the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's our helper. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He's our teacher. He brings things back to our remembrance. So allow Him to do in you, with you, and for you everything that He was called to do. Working with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness. We thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus, and all you are in our lives. We thank you for being our Savior, our Lord, our King. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for your heart of love for us. You are a God of love. You have a father's heart toward all of us, your children. You've given us all things through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've given us all things freely. And so, for that, Father God, we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping us. And we ask you, Father God, help us work with the Holy Spirit. Help us to allow Holy Spirit to work in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our every situation. Help us to allow Him to work in our emotions, in our thoughts, in our acts, in our deeds. Help us, Father, to just yield and surrender totally to Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. Where as we yield to Him, we're yielding to you, Father, and we're yielding to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so for that, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for every believer, God. Thank you for everyone that's going to hear this message, Lord. And I pray for them right now in Jesus' name. I pray that they receive even more than what I've taught. God, I've done the best I could, but you need to take that. And I thank you for taking it, Holy Spirit. Thank you for making it being what everyone needs to hear and receive when they hear this. Because it's not me, it's you. You're the one that do the work. Bless them, Lord, to work with Holy Spirit and to walk out their lives in the spirit and not in the flesh. God, we thank you. We give you glory, give you praise. We magnify your name. We thank you, Lord. Help us to walk also in the power of the Holy Spirit. Most of the church, God, we lack walking in the power, the full power of the Holy Spirit. And the gospel is not full unless there's the gospel plus the power of the gospel. So God, we thank you for the fullness of the gospel of grace of Jesus Christ, and also the power of the gospel working together in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.